Hello again, this is Rural Pastor Tony Alamo, and this is part 73 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. If you'd like to have a copy of this CD or tape, I'll tell you four different ways at the end of the program. This is program 175, and please mention whether you want a tape or a CD. Right now, we have some letters. And some of them are a little, they need some instructions, and I'll be bringing instructions on that. We have some Bible reading today, and we're going to continue on with the message of the Great White Throne as well. And that you're not going to want to be there, because that's where God judges people that are sinners. And it's the final judgment. There's no more. There's no appeals. Once you're judged and sent in, to where God sends people, you can't ever get out. There's no way. And you can't appeal your case. You're too busy yelling your head off to write up a petition for another trial. The trial is a just trial, and it's final. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint the outwardly and inwardly this service. Father, pour out the baptism. I have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I remember you gave it to me. It was like a golden stream that came down. It looked very much like a very thin stream that I saw in pictures over in what I saw in Africa. And that came down slow like honey. And it was gold like honey. And it, I knew exactly when it hit the top of my head. And I started speaking in another tongue, and my voice went down an octave, and my voice is pretty low as it is, you know, Lord. And I felt such power on it, and I was not able to speak English for hours. And we were just having a prayer service, as you, I know you know. And I would have to beckon people into the house because I could not talk. Lord, I ask that you do the same thing, that you speak through me. Use my mouth. Use it in parables or just whatever that you want to use to speak to the people in the world and to the church, that their souls might be saved and that the church might be strengthened, edified, set on higher ground. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
Kumasi, Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Lamo, I am writing to you with all respect and congratulations for your endless labor, which is to take the gospel to every person in this world. I encourage you to continue doing that, for the Lord our God will bless you more abundantly. I am a boy of 15 years old. A friend of mine gave me one of your literatures entitled Dry Bones. I was once a sinner, but once I read more about your literature, I realized that being a sinner is not good in front of God.
That's not where it is. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
I have never received a Bible or got a Bible from my parents before, because what they say is that I am a sinner, so I don't need a Bible for anything. But now I have realized that even sinners can repent. I would like to use this opportunity to request some of your literature and a Bible for myself, and also some literature that I can share with my school friends who have not given their lives to Christ. I will be very grateful if I receive it. Your brother in Christ, Guyon from Kumasi, Ghana, Africa.
Well, that's a real good brother, because the minute that he gets saved, that's how you can tell that you're saved, is that you want to immediately go tell others. And you're not a selfish person or an unmerciful person, because you want others to share eternity in the kingdom of heaven rather than to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Once you're saved, you want to pass it on to the other people, and that's exactly what I wanted to do, and that's what the zeal that I have to do now is to pass on the wondrous power of God to be able to not only create the heavens and the earth and all the things that are therein, but to be able to save human souls and put a desire in those souls to win others and to tell people of the wonders of God and how that He's so powerful, and to tell people how He delivered his children out of the land of Egypt, how he told them that they had to acknowledge the Lamb of God, which is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that unless they acknowledge the Lamb and the blood of the Lamb, which saves our souls, the firstborn in all Egypt would die. And this is another one of the wondrous works of the Lord God. It's a work that he did. And actually, everyone, including Pharaoh, lost their firstborn child. The firstborn child is always the one that gives, it has the strength of the man's youth to carry on whatever the man occupation is, or whatever the man trains the child up to be. And then on top of that, the Lord's mighty works was that he took them out of Egypt. They were cast out, and then the Egyptian army came after them, and God had the wheels of the chariots come off, and then God opened the Red Sea and made the water stand up in heaps, just like it was a heap. And he allowed the children of Israel to go across the Red Sea on dry land. Now, a lot of people think that they say these false prophets, they say that the sea was not deep, it's just ankle deep. Well, then how did it drown the entire Egyptian army afterwards? Did they get down on their hands and knees and just snort the water into their nostrils and chug it down? No, it says it covered them up in their chariots and everything else, so it wasn't 2 or 3 inches deep, right?
Right.
And then God rescued his people and then covered the entire Egyptian army up, and the chariots and the horses, they all drowned in the Red Sea. And then God started providing water for them from flint. These are the mighty works of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then he rained down food, manna from heaven. The Bible says that this is angels' food, so we know that angels in the kingdom of heaven have food. Amen?
Amen.
So there's eating going on up there. And so we have all these words from the Lord that tell us what happened. This is the power of God. Did all these things to feed 3 million people in the wilderness, actually the desert. The wilderness is a desert place. And then the people started rebelling against him, and they forgot all the wonderful works of God because they did not prepare their hearts to serve him. And that's very important, to prepare your heart to meet God. I remember seeing or hearing about the Titanic, where people had not prepared their hearts to meet God. They're wealthy people, and they wanted to be on that voyage because they heard it was the king of the sea, and that it was the unsinkable vessel, ship. And of course, it did sink. Well, just before it did, people started trying quickly to prepare their hearts, and it actually takes years to prepare your heart to meet thy God. You're not going to do it in just 2 seconds or 2 minutes or an hour or even a week or 10 weeks. It takes preparation of the heart. Takes place when you first get saved, and you have to start preparing your heart to meet God all the time. And we know that God sent all those plagues in Egypt before he actually, and it was God that did it. He dried up the streams in the river with blood. It might as well have been dry, but the whole river was just flowing with blood, amen?
Amen.
So that the people couldn't drink the water, because you can't drink blood. You can, but it's, you know, you're not going to live long, especially the kind of blood that the Lord made out of it. He didn't say that it was human blood, did he? Then he poured out, that's a plague, in case you don't know it. Tsunamis and earthquakes are plagues on this earth today, in case you don't know it. Amen?
Amen?
God wants you to know these things. Then the Lord sent flies, because they just kept hardening their heart. They wouldn't listen to the message of God. They didn't believe his word. They didn't want to prepare their hearts. And the flies consumed everything that they had. And then the Lord sent frogs that destroyed them. The Bible says that those frogs, now you look at a little frog and you figure, how could that frog destroy a person? Well, he sent so many of them that it destroyed them. The Bible says that. We can read those scriptures tonight. Amen? And then there was many other major plagues that he caused, and the Lord sends, instead of frogs on us today, sends cancer. And people say, oh, I don't believe that's God. God wouldn't do anything like that. Well, the Bible plainly says that he does that all the time. Amen? And then lice. How would you like to be infested with lice all throughout your house? He says that he even sent the frogs into their bedchamber where people make love and they breed. That wouldn't be much fun, you know, with the whole room filled with frogs jumping and leaping all over the place, and they stink. And then lice. I mean, he made life very uncomfortable. I mean, life is very uncomfortable for you people today. He's allowing Satan to send the terrorists in. And there's the Vatican kicked that off. The Vatican is the one that's behind all these terrorist attacks on everybody. The Bible says so. The Bible states that they're the mother of every abomination, every ungodly sin that's going on earth, and God is pouring out his wrath on this earth because people are going for it. Now, one of the brothers that's a truck driver here at this church, he was out in Oregon, and he met a person that was from Indonesia, and he stated that the Muslims there were forcing all the Christians to go up into the mountains. He says, we have our holy day down here, and we want you to go up into the mountains to pray. We don't want you down here on these golden sands or over here next to the ocean. And then they met another man, and they says that this same story came out of two different people at two different times. Sonny Brubach was just telling me that on the phone about an hour ago. And he said when they went up into the mountains, they praised and thanked God, because sometimes when you think you're being cursed, it's actually your salvation. So don't be bitter if the Lord take something away from you, because it might be the very thing that saves your life. Mm-hmm. Well, just after they went up to the mountains to pray, the earthquake and the tsunami came and drowned. Well, you know the story, I think, right? You've been watching it in the press. So God didn't like what the Muslims did. God doesn't like Muslims that kill Christians and kill little children. And God doesn't like people that kill the people over at Waco, and quote Reverend unquote or Reverend Clinton said, I take full responsibility for murdering these little babies, their mothers and dads, and his lesbian attorney general said she takes full responsibility for it too. God takes full responsibility for giving Mr. Clinton his bypass operations and making him look like death eating a cracker. God's responsible for that. And I'm sure, you know, that he's not that comfortable with it, because I had a brother that was very rebellious against the Word of God also, and he had bypasses, and he showed me the scars where they split him open like an overripe watermelon, and they had his rib cage stapled together, and he said he had an aorta operation too, and then he had a back operation he was in constant pain with, and then he got cancer in his lungs, and then it spread to his brain and liver, and he was in such pain that he wanted to die. And I got to him just before he died. I had one of our congregation, because the Bible says you're not a prophet in your own home, so I had one of the congregation people call him, and I told her what to say to him, and the Lord told me he's going to die, and I says, Jennifer, tell him that he's going to die. He's going out to meet the Lord, and turn that infernal television off in that hospital room. And you better get right with God now. So he started screaming. He took the, had him shut the TV off. And he got saved just before. I mean, really right with the Lord. He was said he was saved, but a lot of people say they're saved and they don't do the work of the Lord. But at any rate, now, so there was frogs and lice, and now we've got a lot more. We've got tsunamis, hurricanes, tornadoes, twisters, you know, and typhoons, all these things that are wrecking the whole world. 10,000 earthquakes a day. Well, people got used to hearing that, so they just shine that on. Now the birds is a-coming. The birds is a-coming. What a prophet this Alfred Hitchcock was, amen? He said the birds was a-coming. The bird flu, and the people in the United States are gearing up now to, they say that hundreds of millions of people are going to die from it, and that they're going to, they're trying to say, let's quarantine the actual airports now. And they're saying on the news just today, how are we going to quarantine an airport for 300 people? There's no facilities at these airports to do that. And the hospitals are saying, we can't take hundreds of millions of people and we don't have enough room. And they say there's no way to stop the thing. It's already spread into the United States. And they're really scared because they know that God said in His Word that He's going to destroy one-third of the world's population in just one stroke. Read chapter 9 of the book of Revelation and you'll see that. One-third of the earth's population. There's 6 billion people. 2 billion are going to be gone. 6 billion, one-third of that is 2 billion. Amen?
Amen?
And they're trying to have birth control now. God will control the birth, amen?
Amen?
The population. You don't have to worry about that, you simpleton little people that are in government. But were you a former dog catcher before? Or an attorney? And you're somebody now because the Pope gave you a high title. Now you're not a janitor, you're a sanitation engineer, right? If I were you, I'd start getting together with the Lord and sanitize yourself.
Mm-hmm.
By the blood of Jesus and begin doing the work of the Lord, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now I could mention all night long the different plagues that are hitting the earth right this moment. Cancer, heart disease, leukemia. Every kind of, there's hundreds of diseases the doctors say that they don't even know what they are. And you're going to catch one of them if you don't get right with the Lord. And you're going to get caught by one of God's plagues. Okay, what else does this letter say?
The next letter is from Santa Monica, California. Dear Pastor Tony, first I would like to thank you for your long-term commitment to the oppressed. Not that many churches...
No, my commitment is to the Lord. It's not to you out there, or to my wife, or my kids. It's to the Lord. And by my committing myself to the Lord, then souls get saved. Amen?
Amen.
Then I'm going to do everything I can for people. But I wouldn't do that if it wasn't for the Lord threatening me. He states that I have to do everything as I would if it were Him. Even the least person on this earth, I have to treat them like they were the Lord. And if you don't have that same mind, because that's the way the Bible says we have to be, well, then you're not going to make it into heaven. Okay? And so I may sound, you know, like I'm crude and rude and tattooed and everything else, but I just want to make sure that you know that you've heard the truth. Okay? I'm telling you like it is.
Amen.
Okay? So then what else does she say? So my commitment is not to you folks. It's to the Lord. And the Lord wants you to know that any good thing that I'm doing for you, teaching you the Word and so on, it's Him doing it. Okay, so he gets all the glory, right?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Not that many churches serve both the spiritual and temporal needs of us sinners.
Well, I know, because they're not real. If they don't, they're not works of the Lord. Okay, and they're going to stand at the great white throne, and they're going to be sorry. All right? Then what? Because we're going to be judged by the work that we do in these dirt bodies, these bodies that God made out of dirt. Yeah, it's something how dirt can walk around. You go out there in the mud pile and see if you can fashion a human being and then make it walk. God has power. Amen. That's power.
Amen.
Especially as many of them. And one thing, I've always thought that people were not that bright. And it amazes me, you know, with all those millions of cars on the road, how there's not more crashes. You know, because I know on top of that people are loaded on drugs and booze and everything else. And, you know, they're not that bright. The Lord says they're dead in their sins and trespasses. And they don't know, you know, they don't have the spirit to guide them. Hey, stop here, because there's going to be a wreck up above, and so on. It just amazes me that there's not more collisions. Okay, then what else?
You are truly honoring Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 12. Praise be to our God.
Amen.
Secondly, I truly thank you for your assistance in helping me break free from the spell of the Catholic religion. I never thought I would leave. I was so brainwashed.
Brain damaged, actually. And then what?
It was through your writings and the Bible study that I began to see the errors. I am now studying the Bible with some serious Adventists.
Seventh-day Adventists?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, then what?
For more than 100 years, they have perceived the Catholic Church the same as you do.
Right, and that's one of the reasons why Mr. Clinton wiped them out, and the government and the Pope told them to kill them, and they wanted to kill me because I pulled the lid off the Catholic cult. And that's right, the Seventh, and David Koresh, the Branch Davidians, were a branch of the Seventh-day Adventist Church that exposes that cult, the Vatican in Rome, the Roman Catholic cult. Now, as I said before, there's a lot of people in the Catholic Church that are as innocent as rain, and some of them are saved, and that's why the Lord says, come out of her, my people, that you are not going to be partake in her sins anymore, and that you will not receive any of the plagues that I'm going to pour out on the people in that cult if they don't get out. That's what the Lord says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then, and remember, the Lord told us all that the world was round and only Christopher Columbus believed it.
Amen.
The men on his crew. And so because of that one clause in the Bible, he ventured off to what everybody thought was the edge of the world and that he was going to fall off. But we all know now, because of him and because of the Word of God, that the world is round. Amen?
Amen.
So whatever the Bible says is true.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
My desire now as a social worker is to honor God in my work. I experienced a lot of persecution when I truly opened my heart to Jesus Christ, my Savior. Much of this has been financial persecution and harassment in work settings. I would like to start my own Bible-based counseling program.
Okay, well there, my dear, is where you're gone wrong. Because you don't figure out what you want to do for the Lord. What you do, he wants you to die out to your old life. And let him, and then study the Word, and then he'll lead, guide, and direct you into what he wants you to be. But as she said, she wanted to have a what kind of work?
Her own Bible-based counseling program.
Bible-based counseling. There's no such thing like that in the Bible. Bible-based counseling. Everything has to be Bible-based, you know. But counseling is teaching, and if you see, you just recently got saved, and the Bible says that if you start teaching, you're a novice, and the Bible says you'll wind up into the same hell as Satan. It says, I suffer not a novice to teach, lest they fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Amen?
Amen.
So you're not to teach yet. You have to really get that Bible grounded into you, and you can give your testimony. And you can read Bible with people. and all that, but don't set up your own career in the Lord. The Lord is the one that doles that out. For 17 years, I thought I was just supposed to support, make money and support the people in the church and let Susie do all the preaching. Because now you're Seventh-day Adventist, and that organization was started by a woman as well, E.G. White. She's a woman. And she's written many books, and I totally disagree with her doctrine of once saved, always saved. That's one of the, she has one of the most demonic theories on that. That's totally unscriptural, but you know, you could, a lot of the other things that they teach are 100% wrong. They're wrong, and there's a lot of there's some of the things that they teach that are right. But every religion, whether it's false or what, every religion has a lot of fallacy in it. And they have a lot of truth in it, too. That makes it more of a better counterfeit. It makes it a better counterfeit. But the Lord is not for religion. He says that religion is of the devil, but salvation is of the Lord. So just get saved. And don't pick your church. Before you start picking your church, now, I believe that the Mormons and many people are wrong. And the Seventh-day Adventists, and for sure the Catholics, and the Buddhists and all this, but I don't go out to, I don't go to kill them like President Clinton, and I just preach the gospel to them so that they get saved. But when they get saved and then they jump into a religion, I mean, you're jumping from the pot into the frying pan, okay? So be careful. If you live in Los Angeles, why don't you come to our church or read the listen to the website, read the website, and or get the literature and the tapes. Like you say, you're learning from them, and you got saved through my literature. So why don't you continue on in this church wherein you were saved? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else does she say?
My desire now as a...
It's your desire. It can't be your desire. It must be the Lord's desire. Your will is to do this and that and this and that. But we have to make our will to be the will of the Almighty God. Amen?
Amen.
And His will is that you don't teach, that you don't set up this counseling thing. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
This would allow the Holy Spirit to guide with wisdom.
Oh, in other words, you're going to guide the Holy Spirit. No, my dear. You must die out to your own will and let the Holy Spirit guide you. You're not a guide to the Holy Spirit. This will allow the Holy Spirit, if I do this and that, or then the Holy Spirit will then do this and that. No. If you die, if you deny yourself, your desires, your will, and take up the cross and follow the Lord, that's what a lot of people don't like. That's what they don't like about Christianity, because they want to so badly do their own will. They're just filled with self. Filthy, rotten self. And God wants that self in us to die. And let Him live in you. And like Paul said, I've done more work than all the other apostles put together, yet not I. I died out, and I died daily. You have to completely die out daily to your own will and let God take over in you to do what He wants to do. Okay, then what?
This would allow the Holy Spirit to guide with wisdom.
She's going to allow the Holy Spirit. No, because you've chosen your career already, not the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit says, don't let a novice teach or counsel. Okay? Mm-hmm. So this is all wrong, what you're saying. Okay, then what I pray that you take this as from the Lord, because it is directly from God. Then what?
Counsel and the fear of God.
Well, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God says, the first thing the Lord says after you get saved, now deny yourself and take up the cross, and don't follow your idea of what your career is going to be, but come and follow me. Amen?
Amen.
Not set up, you're a counselor in the world. So you're going to be a counselor for the Lord. Well, you can be, but get yourself right. Get the Bible under your belt first. Okay? Because you're not going to teach anything but you're going to get into a lot of fallacy. And you're already in, choosing a lot of different things that you shouldn't choose. Okay, and then what else?
Without the Holy Spirit, there is not sustaining truth.
There's not sustaining truth or sustaining power. You need to have the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well, to teach you all things. Then what?
I had a counseling-based program for 13 years, and I lost it when I opened my heart to Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but the counseling that you did then was just carnal stuff. The one thing you can't fake is the Word of God or the walking in the Spirit. Now, you can say, well, you go to a job for a restaurant and say, I'm a cook, because you might have cooked an egg or boiled some oatmeal at your house, or boiled eggs or whatever, fried a couple of strips of bacon. But, you go in there and there's maybe 100 people come in at one time and you have to learn how to flip eggs and everything like that. And you can fake it. The guy say, oh, you're really a cook? Yes, sir, sure am. But when you start going, you'll say, no, you don't know what you're doing, and they fire you. But it's for sure you're not going to get by with faking it with the Lord, because he'll make you look like a silly goose. People start asking you thousands and maybe millions of questions about the Bible, and you'll just be staring at them. You cannot choose to be a counselor, all right? And even Paul said, I suffer not a woman to teach. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because I'm sorry, you people that are women livers, but women have got problems. King Solomon said he didn't find one good one out of 1,000. And that isn't your fault. You were just made the weaker vessel. Amen?
Amen.
So just receive what the Lord says. Now, if you get infuriated at what I'm saying, you're not infuriated with me, you're infuriated with the Lord.
Amen.
And if you're angry at him and shake your puny fist in his face, you're in big trouble. You're already in big trouble. All right, then what?
It was shocking. I noticed that you assist some programs on your website.
No, not really programs. I assist people that are starving and hungry, and people that don't know the Lord. Okay? And then people that want to distribute literature and do the same thing that I'm doing. They want to feed the hungry and the poor and get the Word of God out to them. Those I assist, yes. And if they need transportation because they live so far away from the population, sometimes I'll get them a bike or something like that. But it's the Lord sends them money in for that. We get no government aid whatsoever. We refuse government aid. Okay, then what else?
I wish to begin a non-profit program named Institute for Bible Counseling.
Oh, you've already made up the name, huh? Institute. You're not even grounded and rooted in the Word yet. And you've got an institute. In other words, you'll be the doctor of stupidity. I have a doctorate degree in that. You're offended at that. Tough. Because it won't be a work of God. And you'll say to the Lord on the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, did I not do a great and mighty work for you? But the Lord says, I never knew you. I don't want you or anybody else doing any work for me. I want you to die. I didn't want you to do good or evil, but just be dead. A man laying in a coffin is dead. They can't do good or evil. And the Lord wants you to die out, the you in you. And he wants to get into you and do his work. And he says, depart from me, you wicked, I never knew you. And everything you're saying is wrong. Antichrist. Anti-Bible. Okay, then what?
The cost to legitimize and immediately begin this new program would cost about $50,000 the first year.
Oh my, and I'm supposed to write a check out for that, right? You don't have any money for that sort of a thing. And not only that, Sue and I started out, we used to go to the back of supermarkets. We won hundreds of young hippies to the Lord, and we didn't have any money at all. And we were scraped together maybe 25 cents back then, a pound of beans would cost 25 cents. We go to the back of supermarkets and ask them if they have any bread or stuff that they're going to send back to the bakery that they can donate to us. Because I said, you know, these people that were just one to the Lord, these hippies, they used to come into your store and steal candy bars and cigarettes and all kinds of stuff like that. And now they're carrying Bibles and they'd never do anything like that again. And so, okay, have you got anything that's, you know, maybe just about ready to go out of code that you could give us? And sometimes they'd load us up with an armful of bread and some other things that they'd have. If it was Valentine's Day, they'd have a bunch of cakes, Valentine cakes, that are no good the day after, and they'd give them to us. And the kids would have dessert, and sometimes they'd feel sorry and give us a turkey or something like that, and we'd bake it off, and everybody would have their little ounce or two. And that's the way you start out in the ministry. The Lord wants to test you out to find out if you go through poverty and then wealth. It's very dangerous to have wealth like that. Nobody wrote any check for us for $50,000 in the whole ministry since we've been here. And being a novice, who would write a check out for you that was legitimately of the Lord? Nobody would. Now, you complimented me in the front, but compliments will get you nowhere. Not with me. Okay, then what?
As my old perfect credit rating has been ruined with the persecution, I cannot borrow from a bank.
The persecution that you've got is nothing in comparison to what we got. You shouldn't be, like, we were persecuted greatly, but we rejoice when it happens because the Bible says to. Exceedingly rejoice, because so the prophets before you were persecuted. Amen?
Amen.
And if they persecuted me, Jesus says they'll persecute you, but Jesus never asked you to anybody to sign write out a $50,000 check for him. Amen?
Amen?
And so you're out of order. That's why you would be a very bad teacher. Then what?
I have been taking medical missionary classes since December. As a result...
What is a medical missionary class? My, my, my. You're way out of order, sister. Then what? I believe you're saved, but you're going down the wrong pike, the wrong highway there. What else?
As a result, I now have more to offer clients in the Los Angeles area.
No, you have nothing to offer people. Only the Lord in and through you has the something to offer the people. If you don't have God in you, if you're not doing it, going through the fire, it seems like that isn't what you want. You don't want to go through the fire. Okay? And so the Lord will not use anybody that he can't break. If you get broken, you have a broken spirit and a contrite heart, that way the Spirit of God can enter into you, that brokenness, and then he can be issued out of you unto others. But it's got to be him. Only he is capable of winning souls. You can't win anything. You haven't even got 50,000 bucks. Right?
Right.
And don't expect it to come from the people, the heathen in this world, because they don't care anything about eternity. They don't care about preparing their heart for the Lord. I know many people in the church that have never yet to this day, after they've been here for years, they've never prepared their heart for the Lord. They're still so obnoxiously their self that it's not even funny. They're nauseating people. Okay, then what?
Please pray over this program for me.
I don't
me.
Have to pray over it. I'm a very well-rounded out, skilled person in the Lord. I know these things from experience. I've been around. I've been in the ministry for over 40 years. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then what?
I have been so blessed by Christ and wish to be a blessing to others.
Well, then you just let Christ live in you and work in and through you. And quit choosing your own thing. Okay? What else?
May God continue to bless your ministries.
He will.
Sincerely, Francis from Santa Monica, California.
Hey, Francis. I mean, we love you with all of our heart over here, but you got to do it the Lord's way. Okay? Now, Frank did it his way, but you got to do it the Lord's way if you want to be a Christian. Okay, then what?
Next letters from Andhra Pradesh, India. Dear Pastor Tony, I greet you in the holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am working as a pastor on the seashore in Andhra Pradesh in India. My wife is helping in the ministry. I am blessed with two children by the grace of God, and my daughters are growing in a spiritual way.
Yeah, the grace of God is the power of God. That's what grace means. Grace does not mean undeserved favor. Grace means by God's grace or God's power, I shall prevail. And God's power, when he baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, you shall have grace, in other words, power. And the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And Jesus brought grace and truth into the world, power and truth. And he showed us his power. Amen?
Amen.
Because he was God come in the flesh. Mary never gave birth to God. She gave birth to a man that had God in him. And all of us that are born again of the Spirit in this world, not just in this church, but in the world, have God's power in them, God's grace. People that say grace is undeserved favor, they don't have any power in it because they're teaching the wrong thing. They're false teachers also. They're novices, and they need to repent so that they can spend eternity in after the sentence at the Great White Throne, final judgment, where there's no appeals. It's final. So that they don't be, they're not cast into hell, the lake of fire. All right, then what?
Pastor Tony, I have seen your literature through somebody while I was going by train to Hyderabad. I have much interest to read your literature because it touched my heart. I learned so many things through your Bible teachings. I am so happy. I would like to receive your literature. I was strengthened by your teachings through the Holy Spirit. I want to be a member of the Alamo Christian Ministries, so I need your literature to study well. I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Lots of thanks for your good works to the glory of the Most High God. I believe that God chooses people like you who do the work of God faithfully. I would like
to... Well, you know, he's chosen you too. And you know these things. There's a lot of people that are sitting in churches today that don't even know that. So you are a very special person. Okay? You know, he chose me for this. He's also choosing you for it as well. All right? So he's no respecter of persons if you'll do it. You'll do work. Let the Lord work through you, and great things will happen. Then what?
I would like to join with you and continue the ministry and develop God's kingdom to the unreached places.
Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Then what?
We are praying for your family and the ministry in our daily family prayers. Please pray for us and the ministry. My family members and the church believers greet you all. We are waiting for your kind response. God bless you richly and abundantly. Your brother in Christ, I.J. Sastry from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Well, Father God, we'd ask that you bless these folks, all of them, because I know that from your spirit that they really are of the Lord. Bless them in every way. Build a wall of fire around and about them and give them strength by your power, the Holy Spirit, to endure whatever it takes for them to be able to get into the kingdom of heaven. I know, Lord, that you plan the different environments for all of us so that we're able to learn the truth. And some, you use all different methods to chasten people because you chasten those that you love. So, Father, strengthen them, and I pray, Lord, that you strengthen all the brothers and sisters in the Lord throughout the entire world, and that you, we know that they're being persecuted, Lord, and they're being persecuted by these Muslims that tell people that they have to go up to the mountains. So even that, even though that was persecution, who made out in the deal? Oh, Father, you caused those wicked Muslims, the ones that were forcing them to go into the mountains. You kept your children safe and the others were not. And Lord, this is the way that you judge. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, is that it?
Yeah.
All right, so Sharon, let's come over here and read, starting with verse 40 in chapter 78, or Psalm 78.
How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness.
Okay, so go to the top of the page. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And often he restrained his anger and did not arouse all his wrath.
He's talking about Israel. Then what?
Thus he remembered that they were but flesh.
Then go.
A wind that passes and does not return. how often they rebelled against him in the wilderness.
Yeah, the Lord says we're just like the wind. We pass away and we don't return. We're like shadows, vapors, grass. That's just here for a minute and gone. Like a vapor of smoke. And that's why it's so important to keep the commandments of the Lord. Okay, then what? Because these rebels here were killed and sent to hell. Go ahead.
And grieved him in the desert. Again and again they tempted God and pained the Holy One of Israel.
Actually, we're all in a desert now, right now, a wilderness. This world is a wilderness. We don't know from one day to the next whether you're going to be blown up with an atomic bomb. They're carrying them around in briefcases now. And you don't know if you're going to get one of these diseases. Afraid to shake hands with these Chinese because they say that's where the bird flu is coming from. We do business with some of them and everything, but we know we're covered in the blood of Jesus. And a lot of Africans are carrying this Ebola and also these AIDS and things like that. And then you got the homosexuals all over the place cooking in restaurants and all. And the food is contaminated, totally contaminated. That's why the Lord says to pray over your food. And he says he'll say, make the poison of it go away. And there's a lot of instructions in the Bible, and people pay no attention to it. And that means you're sinning because you're disregarding God's word. You don't believe it. You don't believe it's going to happen to you because you're something special. All those people in Indonesia thought they were somebody special, too. The people in New Orleans thought they were something special. Oh, what a great city, New Orleans. We hate not going to the Mardi Gras, into those places on Bourbon Street. My, my, my. Lord doesn't care anything about that at all. But look at that, you know, everybody wants to make sure that the streets are clean. God didn't care anything about that. The ecology, they all stank. Busloads of them came this way and the people stank. He didn't care anything about their ecology. When he flooded the place, he didn't send a bunch of bars of soap down the line. Did he?
No.
Okay, what else? Or a deodorant. Okay, then go ahead.
They did not remember his power. The day when
they didn't remember his power. And what is his power? I asked one of the people here. They says to save souls. No, his power. They don't remember his power. She didn't. He created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. Okay, then what?
The day when he redeemed them from the adversary, when he performed his signs in Egypt.
Signs. In other words, signs are pictures, things that they could see. He performed these signs, these pictures, that they saw. The whole nation of Israel saw him do these things. Then what?
And his marvels in the field of Zoan, and turned their rivers to blood.
Okay, they saw that. That was a sign that God is doing this. And you people are seeing the earthquakes, the tsunamis, the twisters, the hurricanes, and all these things. And people sitting on the top of the roofs of their houses. God's doing that, okay? Because there are a bunch of Catholics over there that believe that they can drink blood, in which the Lord says not. They eat all the abominations they do and sin, commit adultery, fornication, lesbianism, homosexuality, everything. Then what?
And their streams they could not drink. He sent among them swarms of flies which devoured them.
These are plagues. He also sends cancer to us today. Ebola, AIDS, and hundreds of other diseases. The birds are coming. The bird flu. The mad cow disease. You can't escape the Lord's plagues. Okay, then what?
And frogs which destroyed them.
The frogs destroyed them? A frog? Okay, then what?
And he gave also their crops to the grasshopper.
But there's plagues all over like that, famines all over the world. He floods out different fields and then he dries out other ones. You know, this is from the Lord, folks. It's not just here or in Egypt. It's all over the veldt, all over the veldt, the world. Then what?
And the product of their labor to the locusts. He destroyed their vines.
The locusts, yeah. Then you got stuff that people are getting eaten up by all kinds of stuff. They've got worms. My, my, my. Then what?
He destroyed their vines with hailstones and their sycamore trees.
We're just hearing on the news about hailstones, the biggest baseballs in different places of the country. the birds is coming. Okay, then what?
And their sycamore trees with frost. He gave over their cattle also to the hailstones, and their herds to bolts of lightning.
In case you don't know it, this is from the Lord, folks. It's saying he did this right here in the Bible. And I'm saying it right now, that he's doing it here in the world. You've got these false teachers saying, God would never do that. Tony Alamo is such a, you know, hellfire and brimstone preacher. Amen, brother. That's exactly what it says in the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
He sent upon them his burning anger, fury and indignation.
Okay, who did this?
He, God.
He, God, sent his anger?
Yes.
Well, I mean, he has to go through anger management. You know, all these do-gooders today, these half-wit, carnal people says, God has to go to anger management because he gets angry at us for fornicating and being lesbians and homosexuals. And for cursing him and taking the Bible out of schools and putting evolution in and all the other crazy stuff that God calls sin. Okay, then what?
Fury and indignation and trouble.
God is not only angry, he's furious. He better go to furious management. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, we got to send God to furious management. Okay? Try it. Okay, then what else?
A band of destroying angels.
See, he just sends one destroying angel and he killed 180,000 of Sennacherib's men. Amen?
Amen?
The whole army. Then what?
He leveled a path for his anger. He did not spare their soul from death, but gave over their life to the plague.
To the plague. Okay, to the plague. The plague. The plague. Instead of the plane. The plane. Amen?
Amen.
The plagues are here, folks. Then what?
And smote all the firstborn in Egypt.
Killed every single one of them. But they were crying, doesn't he have mercy? No, not to a bunch of unrepentant sinners. Okay, then what?
The first issue of their virility in the tents of Ham. But he led forth his own people like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them safely so that they did not fear, but the sea engulfed their enemy.
See, now the thing is, like, if you're in the Lord, you're safe. Amen?
Amen.
Well, why do you want to be unsafe? Why do you want to stay out in the world and partake in all these plagues? There's a police officer that came over to our church. They said that we didn't have permits to build certain things. And those things were, we've had that property for almost 40 years now. The places were all the same then, but we've improved them. And they said, well, we have to, and one of the cops were trying to talk my boy into going into the world and have fun. Are you people out in the world having fun, really? Okay? Knowing that you could get off of a bus and there'd be a drive-by shooting and put a bullet right through your skull? How come so many people are out? You having fun paying $3.50 a gallon for gas? And you're only making minimum wage scales? Don't tell me, you know, I know you're not having fun, okay? And all the other diseases that you're plagued with and your loved ones are plagued with. You know, the way to escape this is to get your soul saved with the Lord. To get right with God, to let the Lord enter into you, start preparing your heart to meet thy God, because he's there. And he's been the same yesterday, today, and forever. Also in the days of Egypt, he's the same then as he is here. There's frogs. We got frogs, I mean, people, you know, that are, and lice. There's some people that have, you see pictures of these people in Africa, the babies, their eyes are bugging out. We're sending money over there and people over there. But, you know, we can't stay the plagues of God. We're doing the best we can. But we need your help, too. Well, if God is plaguing them, well, why are you supporting them? Well, because the Lord says to take care of the hungry. Amen?
Amen.
And, I mean, he can kill him if he wants to, but in the meantime, I don't want him killing me because I don't do what he says. And he would. Paul said, if I don't do what he says, if I don't preach, I too will be a castaway. And if you don't, you're going to be castaway too. So, you know, those of you that have common sense and you want to get saved and you get protection and be safe in these plagues today, because God will rescue you out of these plagues. Say this prayer. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me to do away with all my former sins. Come into my heart. Live there. Give me power to be able to keep your moral law and to walk in the Spirit. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that all that come unto you in prayer, and you're everywhere, and you can hear. You know, we don't have to yell and shout, because you hear even a silent whisper. You won't turn me away. Now, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And therefore, I'm calling upon you, Lord, and therefore I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord, and give him all the glory for your salvation. And give him all the glory that he's going to lead you away from all the diseases and plagues, and he's going to heal you. If you're sick right now, God says, I'll heal you. But I'm not going to heal you. I'll steal your firstborn if you don't listen to what I say. I'll take him away from you. I'll kill him, just like I did the people in Egypt. But praise him all the time. Amen. And be thankful that you have God to guide you. All right, now, here's Sharon to tell you four different ways that you can receive this message. If you like it, and make sure you tell us whether you want a CD or a tape. Go ahead.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, I'm sorry, my time is up, but this until tomorrow, which will be part 74 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you. And keep on in the Lord. Keep on keeping on in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.